very, very quiet tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's get rid of this here. All right. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. We've actually had several testimonies this evening surrounding the topic that we're going to talk about tonight, and that is on the topic of friendship. In Proverbs chapter 27, Scripture gives us several things to look at here, and want to talk about this evening. Let's begin in verse number 1. We're going to read several verses down, and then we'll drop down and read a couple other verses. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lip. A stone is heavy, and the sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." Drop down to verse number 14. He says, "He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. A continual dropping and a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoso hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which bereath itself. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Let's pray together, shall we? Father, as we come to you tonight, I ask that as we have read your word, God, you take these next few moments that we have together and use these words in our life. Father, all of us want friends. We want to be friendly, and we want to build relationships in our lives. But Father, we don't want to build them on false pretenses, but Father, we want to build them on the Word of God. And we ask tonight that you would just help us and guide our thinking through this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to take note as the very first verse there, Solomon in talking, he says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And now I know that we make plans. Sometimes we make plans months ahead. We make plans days ahead, weeks ahead, months, and sometimes even years. Some of you may have vacations planned for the next 2 years. You know where you're going, what's happening, when you're going, and that type of thing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I don't think that's necessarily what Solomon is talking about that. But we do, you may have plans for Memorial Day tomorrow. I do, planning on doing a couple of things and enjoying the day and that type of thing. But what are we going to do if tomorrow doesn't come? What are we going to do if those plans change? He says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." All it takes is one phone call to change your day. That's all it takes. Tina knows this. She called me earlier this week, I think it was Wednesday, and said, "Pastor, I just got a text message that my daughter rolled her vehicle." That'll change a day. And, we praise the Lord that Jessica was okay. And I think just said just a little scrape on her arm, a little road rash there, but a whole vehicle flipped over. And you don't know what happens with just one phone call. And he says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now, verse number 2, he says, "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips." I think that's pretty self-explanatory. It would be, one thing for, you know what I mean here, or what the Bible means anyway. Then verse number 3, a stone is heavy and a sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Obviously, the stone being heavy there, you put some sand in a sandbag, you got to lug it around, it's heavy. And the Bible is comparing a fool's wrath to those and saying it's heavier than both. Notice verse number 4, connected to verse number 3, he says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? And here, making that connection of the wrath and the cruelness and the anger, but then comparing that to envy and saying, how can we bear these things? How can we go through these things? Then he changes gears just a little bit where he says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Now, in this, while he says in verse number 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So here we have a combination taking place. In this, he says, you don't know what tomorrow may bring. He says, let another man praise thee. He talks about the heavy stone, the weighty sand, the fool's wrath. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. There is envy. But then he says, open rebuke is better than secret love. You know, there are times when, as friends, our friends might be wrong. You ever had that? Maybe, and from time to time, it may be a spouse that might be wrong. Or you have a friend that maybe they said something or they did something, and there's something taking place here. In this particular example, he's talking about there in the wrath, in the anger, in the envy, and open rebuke is better than secret love. Now in this, I'm going to break this down for you, then we're going to make some comments here. Open rebuke, that is to say, and it could be very simple, Dennis, you were wrong. You look like you're used to that. You hear that a lot, do you? Okay, me too, I'm right there with you. I hear that a lot as well. But sometimes it takes just that, saying, hey, Dennis, you're wrong here, man. You need to look at it this way. Now, that is not always easy to do, okay? In being able to say to somebody, hey, you're wrong here. Because really, one, we know that we don't like to be told we're wrong, let alone somebody else having to tell them, hey, you're wrong here. And so what he's saying is open rebuke is better than secret love. And look at verse number 6, because 5 and 6 are connected here. He says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Again, I'm going to continue to use Dennis over here. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Dennis and I are friends. We've known each other for a long time. Notice the terminology here. Faithful. Now, I would not intentionally hurt Dennis, and I don't think Dennis would intentionally hurt me. But the Bible does say faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now, that's not saying that it's going to be intentional. It's not going to be saying that my intention is to hurt Dennis, but yet there may come a time where I have to tell Dennis something that could possibly hurt him. And you say, that's faithful? Why would I do something if I know this is going to hurt Dennis? Well, because again, it's faithful. And notice the correlation here and the difference when it says, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You see, I could go to Dennis and I could say to Dennis, I could, hey, man, everything's okay. You did just right. And I could be thinking the whole time, oh, you're absolutely wrong. And of course, in a lie type setting, anytime we lie to someone, we're not right. We're not right. You say, yeah, but if I told him the truth, it hurt his feelings. Okay. And? Faithful are the wounds of a, say it with me, friend. Of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So are you someone's enemy? Because you don't want to hurt their feelings. You don't want to wound them. Come on. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Then you drop down to verse number 17, where the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, I've seen them sharpen iron before, and I will tell you, it is not a easy task. When they take the hammers and they forge that steel, they heat it up in there, but it takes iron against iron. You've probably seen it, Brother Don. It's a pretty fascinating thing how they do it, and they go through and they get this thing sharpened, and I don't even realize how much time it takes where they can take a piece of iron this thick and heat it up and beat it down so much to where it's eventually sharp. I mean, it's amazing, and yet I guarantee you, when you think about if iron has feelings, and I know it doesn't, okay? But if iron had feelings, it would hurt. I mean, stick your hand in fire. Who's up for that? Have you ever done it, man? No, don't do it. Fire hurts. Trust me, I've done it. I did it last night. Boiling water, Brother Don. Dropped a potato in, and it splashed up right on my fingers. I got a little blister right there. It hurts. Can't imagine sticking it in fire for any length of time. No sane person would do that. But iron sharpeneth iron. It would hurt. Again, but notice it says, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And I want to make several statements here concerning being the right kind of friend. We're going to look at some other verses throughout Proverbs in this, but I want you to remember these verses here as we talk about this and as we talk about friendship, because I do think friendship and companionship is very, very important in our lives. Everyone, can I say this? Everyone needs a friend. Everyone. I mean, no one is exempt from this. No one can say, I don't need friends. I don't want friends. Don't have to have them. Friends are highly overrated. Now, I will tell you, sometimes friends stink. They just do. And I'm not meaning that in a smelly kind of way. I'm just saying sometimes friendship can be exhausting. No one's with me here. You are? You know what I'm saying. Thank you, Jason. Brother Don, do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes friendship can be exhausting. It just can be. Now, look, maybe this is one of those faithful wounds things. I don't know. But sometimes friendship can be exhausting. And it takes being faithful and maybe saying, hey, this is exhausting me. Oh, I didn't know. Why didn't you say anything sooner? All of these types of words. But I want to say a few things here. First of all, we need to be more concerned about being a friend than having a friend. We need to be, and I don't think anybody heard that. We need to be more concerned about being a friend than having a friend. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, you're either going to be one of two things in your relationships. You're either going to be a giver or you're going to be a taker. Plain and simple. Now, I know in most relationships, especially when you're talking, you know, maybe it's a spousal relationship, husband and wife, there's going to be give and take in all of it. But if you are the right kind of friend, guess what? The right kind of friend is not one that just takes. Give me. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Oh, I guess if I have to. Or I really don't have anything. We hear all of these things. But in order to, if we're going to be concerned about friendship, we need to be concerned about being the right kind of friend instead of what we are getting in return. we ought to seek, as Christians, we ought to seek to be givers more than we are takers. Again, it's better to be a friend than to have a friend. Can I say it like that? Of course, having a friend is going to be a great blessing, but being a friend is a greater blessing. We must be concerned about being a friend, not just having a friend. We need to remember what a friend is. I think one of the things that this passage is teaching us here in friendship is that friends are truthful. I think that's what Proverbs is teaching us here. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. A friend's going to be truthful with a friend. So if we're going to ask ourselves some questions, if we're going to evaluate our friendships, and we're going to evaluate our relationships in life, the first thing that I'm going to ask myself is, am I more concerned about being a friend, or am I more concerned about having a friend? Which one concerns me more? And then the second question I have to ask is, am I truthful with my friends? Because if we're truly friends and not just acquaintances, and I think we miss that sometimes, where we may have acquaintances over here, and then friendship level of friendship, of course, would be different. At the same time, if I am a Christian and I'm trying to be the right kind of friend, then my friendship, and in that friendship, I have to be truthful. And that's what Proverbs is talking about here. How about this? Are we willing to sacrifice for our friends? Are we willing to sacrifice for our friends? And what I mean by that is, are we willing to live for others? Again, it's not all about what do I get out of this. What do I get? And what it should be is, what do I give? Because I guarantee you, if we concentrate on what I get out of a relationship, and that's all I ever concentrate on, we're probably the miserable one in the relationship. You know, I've met in my life a lot of takers. You know, give me, 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 give me. And can I tell you, they make the most miserable people. Because they never get enough. And they're always concerned about what somebody's doing for them and what somebody's doing for them. And it's never good enough. And it never adds up to be enough. And it never comes to a place where they're satisfied with what they're giving or what they're getting. But I tell you, the ones that in this life are givers and they're constantly giving, man, I tell you, they're happy. Think of a telegram that I was able to read and come across from General Booth. Everyone know who General Booth was? Salvation Army? General Booth. He wrote this telegram late in his life. He was sending it in a prayer form, and he says this. He says, Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord. Yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain, and buried deep, and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won, while thinking still of others. I will tell you, I wish I could say that my life was there where General Booth's was. But I tell you, we all could use this. Do we live our life for others? Again, am I a giver or I'm a taker? Am I a friend and concerned about being a friend or just having a friend? I remember when Facebook was becoming a popular thing. I mean, this has been, I don't even know how long it's been out, 10 years, Scott, 2004, so 12 years now. I can remember when it first started, and the big thing was, how many friends do you have on Facebook? How many friends on Facebook you got, Brother Mike? You don't even know. How many Facebook friends you have, Jason? You don't use Facebook. Facebook's for old people. Yeah. But I can remember it became almost a competition. Does anybody else remember this? Okay. How many Facebook friends you have? Brother Don, you need to get your book in the face. Or your face in the book. I don't know, something like that. You need to get it. But seriously, people concern themselves with their Facebook friends. And you know, something I learned, I'm not preaching against Facebook or anything like that. I could care less. But, you know, if I haven't talked to you in 10 years, not that we're not friends, but, man, you know. And I know we can reconnect with people, and Facebook's a good thing. But, you know, I found myself, I you know, we'd become friends and we'd send one message and then nothing. But I've got 759 friends. Seriously, I never even knew I knew 759 people. Hello? I mean, Brian's moved around a lot. How many friends do you have, like 2,000? I mean, if you started contacting everybody that you've met over the years in your travel, you could probably have 2,500 friends. Or better, you could be Facebook champion of friends. One of the things that tells me in that, though, is that people are longing for friendship. And we're constantly wanting to make these connections because we want friends. But yet, are we willing to do and live for others? Proverbs 17:17, a very powerful verse, says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born in adversity." Friend loveth at all times. And I tell you, if we're going to be the right kind of friend, we need to be concerned about being a friend, not just having a friend. We need to remember what a friend is, and that's truthful. We need to understand that being a friend means we're going to sacrifice for others, and we need to understand that being the right kind of friend means we're going to consider a friend's need above our own. Romans chapter 12, the Bible says that we need to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Here, a friend loveth at all times. We may disagree with friends. That's okay. We just need to tell them that we disagree sometimes. So I could never do that. You can. It's all about it's all about our disposition as much as it is our position. It's nothing we have to be rude about or ugly about or unkind with. But we can have disagreements. I was talking to my best friend last week, and we were talking about a particular topic, and he made a statement, and I said, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. And so I gave him my point of view, and he told me where I was wrong, and I told him where he was wrong. And he figured out that I was wrong. And I figured out that he was wrong. And we never did come to an agreement, Scott. You believe that? We never did. I said, you see it your way, I see it my way. And you know what? We do it all the time. And we're still friends. But I tell you, our friends sometimes have needs. And we need to make sure we're there for them. Because we're friends. I love what Proverbs says too, that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You see, we can have lifelong friendships, and we can have friendships that last to the end of time. But I'll tell you, the friendships that last are friendships that give and not take. The crux of this is that if we're going to be the right type of friend, we're going to be a friend that gives and not just takes. There's going to be, again, give and take within any relationship. But what you need to concentrate on and what I need to concentrate on is that we're giving a whole lot more than we're taking. We need to give. We need to be the right kind of friend. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you the right kind of friend? See, sometimes we get so concerned about what our friends do or don't do, how they behave, how they don't behave. And we stop concerning ourselves and stop thinking about us as far as what we're doing. We need to be concerned about this. Be the right kind of friend. May God help us with this. Our Father in heaven, I want to be the right kind of friend. Father, sadly enough, I haven't always been. I want you to help me with this, for I need you. I thank you for giving us passages in your word that help us with it. May we live up to it. May we be the right kind of friend. May we give what needs to be given. May we not concentrate on what's available for us to get. Take, but may we give to others. Have your way during this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. Melissa's playing, you're standing to your feet. He's good. As we sing that first verse, you come if you need to. The altar's open. Sing another verse. The right kind of friend. They're caring. Are you that friend? And we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much. I'm going to have Brother Don come and dismiss us.